All right, so we're in Exodus 15 tonight. Exodus 15. Exodus 15, the Song of Moses. And in this chapter, we see the worship and praise that overflowed from the children of Israel and Moses after their redemption and deliverance from Egypt. And they are singing these praises from the other side of the sea. And that's important. Singing the song of redemption, being delivered from the bondage of Egypt and brought to the other side and singing the praises of Jehovah God, the deliverer, the one whose strong arm has delivered them. And this event in the history of the nation of Israel is central to their understanding of who God is and who they are. So this is a theme that goes throughout Scripture, this event in the history of the nation of Israel. This being redeemed from Egypt. This is a theme that the people of Israel looked to in their history to remember who God is, remember who they are. Take a look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. There's many others here, but here's just a couple. Psalm 78, verse 12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. So here we remember that the time when the Lord did this, he brought his people out of Egypt. And then again, Psalm 106. Psalm 106. There in verse 7. Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. And we'll see that as we read. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also and dried it up. So he led them through the depths and through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. So a wonderful theme throughout Scripture of God's people remembering this event, remembering their redemption, and it's the theme of their praise. And really, he is a God who delivers. He is a God who redeems. And so we can sing the song of redemption. We can sing this song of praise because we have been redeemed. The centrality of this, the Exodus, and them becoming a nation and getting out of that slavery and bondage to be a nation to follow the Lord. Our redemption, the centrality of the cross, it was purchased on the cross, our salvation, our redemption by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the cross where we see who God is. You know, for them, it was the Exodus. It was that going through the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, and that mighty, marvelous deliverance. That's where they saw who God was, and that's where they understood who they were. You know, it's in the cross that we see who we are. Our theme of praise and worship is the cross. Everything begins and ends with the cross. Everything began and ended with them, with that wonderful redemption out of Egypt. And these two events, really, the Lamb of God and this Song of Moses really are, they're tied together in Scripture. Take a look at Revelation 15. Revelation 15. There in that day, Revelation 15, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.'" So that wonderful event there in the future, singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. This is a song of redemption. They conquered, they overcame, and they worshiped because of what God has done. So it's a really amazing passage, verse 15. Back in Exodus, the song of Moses, the song of deliverance. So maybe we could review a little bit in Exodus 14 and see what they're worshiping the Lord for. It's a very well-known passage before we go into Exodus 15, but we'll take a look a little bit at Exodus 14 and we'll see some parallels from their redemption and our redemption, and really the type and shadow of that crossing and what it means for us today. So there in Exodus 14, I'll just read the first four verses there. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea.'" So, you read this and, the Lord is directing them to a particular spot for a reason. It says here, verse 3, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. So here we have an interesting kind of a setup. The Lord purposely led the children of Israel to a dead end, to right there on the sea, nowhere to go. And Pharaoh finds out about this, and he says, and it's interesting, the Lord knows what he's going to say in his heart. They're lost. What are they doing? They're going to a dead end. They're sitting ducks. They're an easy target for the armies of Egypt. He set a trap. He set a trap for them. The children of Israel would be in a spot where they are completely helpless, unable to rescue themselves, between a rock and a hard place, literally. They are going to be in a place where they have nowhere to go but to turn to the Lord. And we see that in 10, verse 10, Exodus 14, 10. "And when Pharaoh drew near," so Pharaoh gets his armies, his chariots, his elite chariots, "and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." So you can imagine, here they are with their women and children, old elderly people, all of the goods that they took from Egypt. They're on the banks of the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army, coming with these chariots. These were the tanks of the day. They had no chance. And, they cried out and they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt. So their fear is causing this anger and unbelief and regret. This is not the word that we told. Is this not the word you told it that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than if we should die in the wilderness. So, you know, Moses addresses this in verse 13. And I love this. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, there's nothing that we can do, right? There's no goodness in us. There's no ability in us. There's nothing that we can put our heads together and figure out a way to solve this problem. There is nothing that we can do. It is only the Lord opening the way, his mercy and his grace, that we can be delivered, that we can find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only him. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There's nothing that we can do. It goes on, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. So he's the one that accomplishes our salvation. For the Egyptians, I love this, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again, no more forever. I love that. You know, there's such a, we read types and, you know, the types and shadows that we see in the Old Testament and how it ties in with the New Testament, what we have in Christ. And, you know, we have to be careful with the types and shadows because we don't get our doctrine from them. We get our doctrine from the clear teaching of Scripture. But we can go back and see these types and how they show us those truths. And, you know, there's a thing about what I see with this is, you know, the eternal security, right? You were delivered out of Egypt and we can never go back. They never went back to Egypt. The way is shut. That door is shut. Once you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in him, you know, you're delivered out of Egypt and that you can never go back. You can never go back to Egypt. And he says that you're never going to see these Egyptians again. No more forever. So that's settled. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So just a lot of wonderful promises that Moses gave to his people and promises that we can experience in our lives. This understanding of God doing it all. He accomplishes it. He fights for us. And we can rest in that. We can stand still and rest. So God provides a way. And that way is shut and there's no going back. So then it goes on here in verse 21. It says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And, you know, this, here the children of Israel are there on the banks of the Red Sea. Here come the armies of Pharaoh barreling down on them in fear, crying out to God. Moses promises, gives them the promises that God's going to make a way. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And just at the right time, God opens the way. You know, you can imagine the pressure and the anxiety and the fear coming in, that weight coming in on the children of Israel, and God just at the right time opens the way up at the right time. And we know in Romans 5:6, it says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Just at the right time. He didn't die too soon. He didn't die too late. He died just at the right time to be the savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, everything God does is just at the right time. So verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. I mean, just complete, utter victory over the enemy, complete destruction. He didn't just eke out a victory. It wasn't close. Complete this overthrow of the nation, of the army of the Egyptians. You know, our salvation is, we're not just barely just got through. It is a complete, utter victory, what God has done for us in Christ. Our sin, the enemy, the world, defeated. And it says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You know, there they are on the other side. And today, you think about it. So they're on the other side, and the sea has come back, and they're no longer in bondage to their slave masters. They're no longer under the rule of Egypt. They've seen all of the gods of Egypt be destroyed or humiliated. They've seen the armies of Pharaoh humiliated and completely destroyed. They're on the other side, and now they're moving forward. And we're going to read in Exodus 15, looking forward to what God is going to do. And in the same way, us, you know, we're on the other side. Take a look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, or translated us, or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So as a believer in Christ, you are delivered from the power of darkness. You are delivered from the slave master, delivered from the bondage of sin, and we're brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Just like them standing on the other side of the sea, the way is shut. There's no going back. The enemy, really, Egypt can't touch them. And Egypt never does touch them again. They have other trials and tribulations as they wander in the wilderness and they take the land. And eventually they go into, they're taken into captivity in Babylon. You know, there's other things that happen to them, but they are never again bothered by the Egyptians. Never again under that slavery of sin of the Egyptians. So verse 31 in 14, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And then verse 15, so we'll start in verse 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. So this was something very, it happened right there on the banks. Moses perhaps wrote it down and they sang it together. There's the idea that they, maybe one person would sing a phrase and then other they repeat it. The congregation would repeat it. So there was something that they all did together. They sang this song. So the song of Moses, it goes all the way from verse 1 to verse 18. I believe, or maybe 19, verse 19. And it's broken up into stanzas, and there's people have different ideas of where the divisions are, but you do see repeating phrases in the Song of Moses. And actually going on to the Song of Miriam at the in verses 20 and 21. You see these repeating phrases, just like a song we sing. We sing, there's verses and there's a chorus. In the same way, you have that. So it says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider and its rider, he has thrown into the sea. So that's a common phrase. In fact, it's in that's what Miriam sings there in verse 21. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So this was a chorus, perhaps. There's also a breakdown that you can think of in this chapter. Verses 1 through 12 is retrospective. So looking back, what did God do? And then verses 13 to 18, what will God do? So there's a worship of what God did, his redemption, what he's accomplished, what he's done, and that's the focus of our worship. But then there's another section where what God will do in the future. Because we've seen him so faithful and gloriously defeat the enemy in the past, now I can look forward that he will do the same in the future. And that's verses 13 to 18, is that future. So looking back and looking forward. So, I will sing to the Lord. You know, really, that's, we're singing to him. Our worship and praise is to him. That is our direction of our worship. For he has triumphed gloriously. You know, as I mentioned before, it's a complete and utter victory. He has triumphed gloriously. And we can walk in that triumph. The horse and its rider, he has thrown into the sea. You know, that the horse and his rider, that the strength of the nation of Egypt, that, you know, more than we can imagine, much greater than I am. It's just, he throws into the sea like nothing. Those things that come into our lives that just seem so impossible, so overwhelming, just toss in the sea like nothing. The Lord is my strength and song. You know, so often we are helpless and powerless to do anything. We struggle with temptations. We grapple with sin, afflictions. We are weak in ourselves, but he is our strength. The Lord is our strength. He strengthens us by his grace. And he's our song. He is the theme of our song. Him, his person, who he is. and he has become my salvation. They could look back at what that event that just happened, and we're saved. I mean, you think about that. We look back at what the Lord Jesus Christ did and died on the cross for our sins, and we put our faith in him, we can say, we're saved. We have been delivered from the wrath that we deserve. He is my God, and I will praise him. You know, I remember when I got saved, because I would go to church, and, you know, God always seemed so far away. I felt like I needed to behave a certain way in order to get his approval. That kind of religion, you know, I need to go through these motions. I need to do these rituals. I need to perform. You know, of course, you always fail. But I remember when I got saved, he's my God. He is my God. He's my Savior. He is close. He's personal. He's my God, and I will praise him. He says, Moses says here, he sings, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, look back at Exodus 3. You know, he's talking about his father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it says, and thinking back to this promise that God made in Exodus 3, verse 6. So this is standing before that burning bush. Take your sandals off your feet, for this is holy ground. Verse 6, Exodus 3, 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Okay, I'll stop there, but, you know, God came to him. He said, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now Moses, now he's the God of Moses. Now he's my God. It's a great thought there. I will exalt him. He's my God. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. He's a warrior. God is a warrior. He knows how to win. He knows how to win the battle. And he will do battle against all ungodliness. He will do battle against, you know, the Antichrist and iniquity and sin. He knows how to deal with all of these things that strive against him. And he will win. He knows how to win. He's a warrior. The Lord is his name. Jehovah or Yahweh, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. So that those chosen captains, those are his elite, the choice captains. It also talks about choice chariots. These are the elite that have been tossed into the sea, and they sank to the bottom like a stone. So that's another phrase that's repeated. They sank to the bottom like a stone. And then in verse 10, it says, you blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead. in the mighty water. So it's a similar thought. They sank to the bottom like a stone. They sank like lead. Verse 6. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. Who can stand? Who can stand against such power? Take a look at Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verse 2 says, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand? And then, who can stand? I'm sorry, Psalm 130. Let's see if I can find this. Yeah, Psalm 133. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. See, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be standing there getting consumed like these Egyptians in this tremendous fire of his glory, just burned up into nothing. But because of his forgiveness, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be able to stand before him someday. Amazing. There in Exodus, back in Exodus 15, and with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. Just that power. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. You know, so this, you see this, just the sea just opening up. It just hit the blast of his nostrils, just the his breath. And then we have this in verse 9. We have the thoughts of the enemy here. The thoughts of the proud and the arrogant and those that would stand against him. Perhaps this is what was going on through Pharaoh's mind when they saw the sea open up. Hey, we'll just chase them. We'll go after them. And they have their plans, but they come to nothing. It says, the enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. If you remember, the children of Israel left with the spoils of Egypt, all that gold and all of the food and everything that they took with them from the Egyptians. They're thinking, we're going to take it for ourselves. We'll divide the spoils. My desire, or my lust, my bloodlust shall be satisfied on them. We're just going to take it out on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. So they've got their plans. They've got their ideas of what they're going to do. But it comes to nothing. It says, verse 10, you blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Just a breath. And they're gone. The sea swallowed them up. So the wicked make their plans, but it comes to nothing. Verse 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like you among the gods? Glorious in holiness. The gods of, I'm not sure about the gods of Egypt, but the gods, the Greek gods that the Greeks worshipped, you know, they were not, they were just amplified humans. They were stronger, but they were slaves to passion. They had weaknesses. They would pursue their passions and even to their destruction or, you know, failure. The Greek gods were just, you know, like us. They were just bigger and stronger than us, but they still, you know, had weaknesses. And they're petty, jealous of each other. That is not our God. He is glorious in holiness. I love that somebody defined that as holiness, the sublime and incomparable majesty of God, exalted above all the imperfections and blemishes of the finite creature, just completely beyond. Exalted above all imperfections, blemishes, none of that. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. He is incomparable in his majesty. Who is like you? Who is like him? Fearful in praises. You know, we ought to stand in holy awe and humility before him, who he is. We fear him. We have a reverence for him. He's not, you know, people sometimes they try to minimize him. They use terms to describe him that are irreverent, but we ought to stand in awe before him. It says, fearful in praises, doing wonders. He is a God of wonders. He does amazing, wonderful things. So we have, now we have this, I'll just go on, verse 12. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. Again, speaking of the Egyptians, but so here it seems like in verse 13, we have this switch or a change to the future. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. So he's bringing them to himself. But it seems like this is the beginning of this future. But so much in the Old Testament that the verb tenses, it's as if it's already been done. There's so many promises of God that look forward to the future, but it's as if it's already done. It's complete. So he will bring them to his holy habitation. And then in verse 14, the people will hear and be afraid. So this is these are the people of the land, the nations in the land, the Amorites and the Canaanites and Perizzites and all these people. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. So there's that idea of a stone again, but this time it's the nation in the land, the promised land, the nations will be as still as a stone in fear. So this looking to the future and trusting him for his promises to be completely fulfilled. He's brought them this far. He will surely bring them all the way. And that's, we know that as well. God, you've brought me this far. You're going to bring me all the way. you know, it says that fear and dread will fall on them. Take a look at Joshua 2, if you remember, Rahab tells the spies something interesting here. And Joshua, word had spread of this event. And that's exactly what God said, what would happen. Um, the word would spread that God did this. In Joshua 2, verse 8, the spies went into Jericho and they met Rahab, and Rahab tells them something very interesting in verse 8, Joshua 2, 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did we remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So word had spread that God had done this thing. And just like Moses said, Moses is referred to as a prophet. This is going to happen. The people of the land will be in fear of the nation of Israel as God brings them through. So it says, as it goes on here, fear and dread will fall on them. Verse 16, by the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in the plant. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And, this is certainly talking about going into the land and taking the land, but there's also, there's images and ideas of this, of the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, where God will do this in the future yet to come. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Verse 20, the Song of Miriam, then I'm just going to end with this portion here, and maybe whoever's next can do verse 22 to the end. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his its rider he has thrown into the sea. So the women now are singing the same the song. They're singing the chorus with the instruments and dancing. So they are singing to the praise of the Lord as well at this time. So yeah, Exodus 15, the Song of Moses, it's filled with such great, worship and praise and who God is and what he's done. There's so much in the passage. There's so much that we can take heart in, knowing that we've been redeemed, knowing that we are on the other side, knowing that we're, he's mighty. He's going to bring us all the way. So we can worship him for a wonderful redemption in Christ. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can read the Song of Moses. Thank you that you have delivered your people and they were filled with such worship and praise for your deliverance at just at the right time, bringing them out. And thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you because you have brought us out by your right hand. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who dealt a death blow to the enemy. Thank you that he's paid the penalty for our sin. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk in newness of life and victory over our sin, over our slave master. We no longer have to obey. Lord, we can serve you and worship you. We thank you for all these things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.